And so, yes, maybe you can do it, but are you doing it to the advantage of your shareholders, or are you adding value for your shareholders? But so if you, if you keep raising money at 20 cents, you got to build a $400 million mill. I mean, you're going to obliterate, dilute the crap out of your shareholders. And that's, that's not of interest to us. And I'm a significant shareholder of the company. It's certainly my largest personal wealth right now in terms of, where I'm invested. So yeah, I'm not interested in dilution. I want to minimize that. And so this model fits that, fits that attribute. We've got, as you know, about 33 million shares outstanding, fully diluted. And
that's so tight.
Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse, Contango Silver and Gold. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Andy, good to see you again. I'm doing great. I just got back from fishing, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I bet you are. You're in a good mood. That's what fishing will do. And off camera, we were talking all about that, just bringing about, for all my viewers and listeners, that's where I'm from. I'm literally right there where you guys are at, where one of the projects are at. Lucky Shot is right there. And so it just brings back a lot of great memories for me and all of that. But let's talk first really about just the overall market and mining. It looks like we're getting a turnaround. I think this turnaround does have some really good legs to it, but want your opinion on all that and what you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, everybody was fired up when gold was just breaking records every, every week, going, 4,000, 4,500, 5,000, 5,500. It had to break down at some point, and it did, and it's reset, it's had a very healthy reset down to 4,000. We took advantage of that reset to get rid of the hedges. We bought out the hedges, so now we are hedge free. Exactly. Look, I mean, this is just good management. I had to sell pat ourselves on the back, but it's just good management. We didn't put the hedges in place because we were trying to hedge gold. That's not what a gold producer, in my opinion, that's not what a gold producer should do. We hedge gold because the banks made us hedge gold to get the loan to build our Manh Choh mine. So we've been opportunistic to unwind the hedges with the $4,000 reset. I think gold's going to go back and establish new highs. So I think it's a healthy reset. And like I said, I think we were opportunistic and took advantage of that reset, take out the hedges. But I think we're going to see gold just march up. And I think you're going to see Contango be a beneficiary of that, because we're now an unhedged gold producer. And we've got the better half of this year to look forward to, which was 2026 was always our low production year and higher cost year. And the first half of it sort of bore the brunt of that. The second half is going to be, more production and better cost structure, because we've got most of the pre-stripping out of the way. And of course, we get the benefit of all that next year with higher production and lower costs. So we're in a good spot, and I'm just pleased as punch. And I know my CFO, Mike Clark, is pleased as punch to get rid of the hedges so he doesn't have to talk about him anymore.
Yeah, well, I'm pleased as punch about that as a shareholder. And what I'm also... Yeah, I do want to pat you on the back. That, I think, is great portfolio management, controlling what you can control. And in the sense of doing that, that's really good asset management is what I'd like to call it. So very well done, and to the team that you have there. Talk a little bit about, we're going into what I call the busy season after a slower summer-ish season. Not only for you guys, but a lot of miners. And what I mean by that is I'm expecting money to really flow into the miners, but talk about specifically to Contango and how your guys are going to benefit from that, and what news really the people that you can talk about that people should be aware of and have on the radar.
Yeah, we're busy. We're just flat out. And of course, we're busy starting in, sort of April, May, getting ready and get the drills turning and all that. So we've got five drills turning at Kitsault.
That's a lot, just to be candid with you. Well done. That's a lot of aggression.
We have two surface drills at Lucky Shot, and we're just about to get one underground rig turning at Lucky Shot. We may, in fact, add a second not right away, but down, you know, we got to get the underground development work there to get, make holes in the ground so that the drillers can get in and do their underground drilling. But yeah, it's been busy. And of course, you know, we're all waiting for assays. That's the slow, tedious part of the wait, because you're drilling holes, you samples, you split them, you sample them out, you send them out. They have to get prepped first, and then they have to get analyzed, and that is a very slow part of the overall process. I think we're seeing, I've heard up to sort of 9 week lags between when you send a sample into the lab and they actually receive it, and when you get an assay out the other end. So it's and it's always been this. It's been this way for a long time. I shouldn't say it's always been this way, but certainly, you know, in the last 5 years or so, it takes it. You better plan on a couple of months before you get assays back. So, but we're looking at probably getting first assays out on Lucky Shot and Kitsault later, towards the tail end of this month. So that's kind of where we're at with that. But and obviously once you sort of get up on step, you're going to have assays every, you know, sort of 2 or 3 weeks. We tend to like to release them in bundles, not just sort of one hole at a time thing. So
got it.
Yeah, got we're busy.
You're busy. So assays really, and then earnings should be great. And you can't really, I don't know how much you can comment about that, but just because now of the hedges, you're getting the full benefit of, to rehash that, you're getting the whole benefit of the wherever gold will be at the time of sell, correct?
Yeah. And look, the financial, so our Q2 financials are going to come out, I think it's next week. So now, in the financials, we still have to account for that future gold that we've sold. So the financials are going to take about till the end of the year to sort of sort out, because you forward sell all that gold, and you know,
yep.
It was already sort of baked into the financials, if you will.
Okay.
But going forward.
Understood. Yep.
We do. You're right. We do get paid now for spot price. So that you can, yeah, I hate to say it, but you can probably ask Mike Clark if you want to get a more detailed explanation, which he'll reluctantly and painfully go through with you, because it's definitely definitely more complicated than just you know, saying, oh, it's a forward sale. So
yeah, well, again, I think that's very key though to all my viewers and listeners and investors that are in contango. Just, you know, yes on all of that what Rick said, and also still continue to be patient. But patient is a key word, because you guys are experienced the selling, I mean the spot price now that the hedges are off, but that whenever that's reflective, that's a mic question.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. I don't want to try to explain something that is in the financial end of things, because I don't want to give misinformation. I, you know, I think I understand it, but I, you know, I'm a geologist in the end of the game. I'm a geologist. So
yeah, you know. Well, about that too, one of the things, I can't hammer this enough. When we first met, I don't know, it was 3 years ago, something like that. But I was so impressed just with your model, this simple, but simple model, and this simple's good model that you use. And it's really, I don't want to say eliminates permitting, but it streamlines so much permitting and really getting the gold out of ground and into production. Just comment a little bit about that. And are you applying that to the new asset that you guys acquired in Hatcher Pass in Lucky Shot?
Yeah. So, the direct shipping ore model basically takes advantage of existing infrastructure. So, and you know, the example being Manh Choh, where we had a nice high grade deposit. It was 1 million ounces, a little over 1 million ounces. It's kind of on the edge of, you know, it's not, I'm not going to say it's not viable to build your own mill and tailing facility. It's viable, but there's not a lot of investor interest to, you know, put $400 million or so into a junior company that's never done this before. I mean, that's why it's so hard to become a junior producer, because it's, you got to convince the people with the money to give you the money, unless you can write the check. So what the DSO model does, direct ship ore model does, is it takes advantage of existing infrastructure. And in the case of Manh Choh, it was the Fort Knox mill that had excess capacity, and we knew it had excess capacity. It's a 50,000 ton a day mill that's been running at 20, 25,000 tons a day for the last 10 years. So yeah, there's another 25,000 tons of capacity there. So, you know, it doesn't come without modifications. You got to do some modifications. But when you, if you're the owner of a mill, and if you can run, you know, 5, 6, 8 gram material through your mill, rather than the 0.8 gram material through your mill, you're gonna
why not?
You're going to do that all day long.
Yeah.
You know, there's a business arrangement in there that's mutually beneficial. So that's basically the tenet of the model. Now, with Lucky Shot, very simple ore, quartz and gold, tiny bit of salt, less than 1% sulfide. So it's a good candidate to also go through the Fort Knox mill. We do have other possibilities. You know, Ocean Partners been in the news a lot doing deals with companies to do the same thing. They've got a facility in Taiwan that, you know, if you can get the grade to them, that's another option. Little different economics, and we'll take a look at it when we get to the point where we've got a mine plan put together to see if that makes more sense than sending it to Fort Knox. Obviously, Fort Knox is closer than Taiwan, so
it'd have to be a heck of a deal, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, so you look at both, and let's see. There's a third possibility, which is we acquire our own mill. So, and we basically toll with ourselves, mm-hmm. and or with other folks. So that's something we're taking a look at too. And we've mentioned this many times that we're evaluating acquiring an existing already permitted mill. And so this DSO model is really kind of two aspects of it. There's the financial saving, capital savings of not having to come up with $400 or $500 million to build your own mill. But the other aspect of it is permitting. And mm-hmm. until we get, you know, solid permitting reform in the United States, and I'd say same applies for Canada. The circumstances are slightly different, but it's you know, getting permits to build mines in the US and Canada just takes a fair bit of time. And until you have that, that's a, you know, permitting for 5, 6, 10 years, which is not uncommon. A junior company just can't last that long, can't keep the market's attention that long, can't keep investor interest that long. And so, you know, yes, maybe you can do it, but are you doing it to the advantage of your shareholders, or are you adding value for your shareholders? But so if you keep raising money at 20 cents, you know, you got to build a $400 million mill. I mean, you're going to obliterate, you know, dilute the crap out of your shareholders. And that's, you know, that's not of interest to us. And I'm a significant shareholder of the company. It's certainly my largest personal wealth right now in terms of, you know, where I'm invested. So, yeah, I'm not interested in dilution. I want to minimize that. And so this model fits that. You know, fits that attribute. We've got, as you know, about 33 million shares outstanding.
Yep.
Fully diluted. And
that's so tight.
We like it tight. And yeah, it's good, but you know, but that makes it volatile because there's not as much stock. So when your gold price goes from $1,500 to $4,000,
you got torque.
the shorts take over, and you know, they do what they're gonna do. But when gold goes back up to $5,500, guess what? We'll be a $30, $40 stock. So we're pleased where we are. Love the fact that we're unhedged now. That was always a burden we had to bear, a cross we had to bear. But with the gold reset, we've taken care of that, and I'm really pleased with that.
Yeah, well, congratulations, really, and congratulations to all of us, all the shareholders, and you know, anybody listening. Again, I am biased. This is not financial advice, but I would absolutely check out Contango Silver and Gold. If people want to do business with you, if the people want to do more due diligence, if people want to buy you, where do they find you? What exchange? And you got a great listing. Where can they buy you? And what's your ticker?
Yeah, so CTGO is the ticker symbol. We are NYSE American traded, and we're TSX traded. When we acquired Dolly Varden, I guess earlier this year it closed, we kept the TSX listing. We upgraded it from the TSXV to the TSX full board. So, yeah, and obviously there's a lot of interest in Canada and Canadian investors. So we thought we'd just keep the TSX listing. It was fun. We got to ring the opening bell both in New York and at the TSX. And what was really cool about the TSX opening bell ceremony is that it was the same day that SpaceX was IPO'd. And so we've got nice, you know, little film coverage from the, you know, all the different news agencies at opening bell, you know, how they do that with opening bell.
Well, I saw it.
Yo was right there next to SpaceX, which I think is pretty freaking cool.
It was. I saw it. And I was like, how did you do that? It was neat. So, well, all my love.
Difference in valuation, but that's okay.
We'll you're right. Up. That's okay. We'll there's still a lot of, yeah, still well done. So, well, fantastic. I will have you on anytime. Love to get an update as the essays come out. Hopefully by the end of the month, if not early September, let's get you on again and we'll talk about them. And I'm expecting, I don't want to over fluff, but I'm expecting great news. So
yeah, I mean, look, when you got five drill rigs turning, and you know, Kitsault's always been a performer in terms of drill intersections. It was always putting out top 10 type results consistently, and I don't expect anything different. We are a little delayed on the MRE, so we're just guiding to we'll get it out this quarter, this next quarter coming up here. We were trying to get it done by the end of July, but it just taking a little longer than we thought. But drilling surface drilling out of Lucky Shot. We've got some more sampling we've been doing and some more studies we're doing there. And then at Johnson Tract, I just wanted to mention we're building the road between the camp and the proposed portal site, which is substantially permitted now. The road's completely permitted, and we built the first bridge over the first river crossing. So we've got two river crossings to do. So we'll have some we'll have some updates on that and some photos that, you know, when you're building a road in on a project, in my mind, that's more development, but we don't have a feasibility yet, so we can't officially call it development, but we're putting building real things and putting adding that infrastructure on the at the project so that we can actually get this thing to a mining decision in a couple of years when we get all the work done. But that's fantastic. It's fun to see that advancement come.
No, it really is. It really is. The question is, that going to be that's not going to be a paved road, is it?
No, yeah. it's just a dirt road, but there's lots and lots of gravel material there. So it'll be a nice dirt road connecting the proposed underground mine site that's going to pull the tunnel so we can do all the feasibility level work at Johnson Tract for the JT ore body. And then we're still permitting with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the other related federal permitting agencies to permit the road down to the coast and permitting our port, our barge landing site. So that's still in progress and part of Fast 41. So, you know, we're
excellent.
Agencies are meeting the timelines that have been outlined, and we are too. So it's we still expect overall permitting for the project to be completed by March of 2028.
That's excellent music to my ears. I ask about the road because it sounds like the road I grew up on. It's just a nice dirt road. That's like most roads that people live on in Alaska, it seems. So Rick, always great to see you, always great to catch up with you, and I'd love to do it again in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
We'll have some results out and we'll talk about them. How about that?
Yeah, it sounds great. All right. Thank you. And we'll put all of this to all my viewers and listeners. I'll put all this in the show notes below. Kobe will do that. Thank you so much, Rick. Good seeing you.
Good seeing you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.